And I wish you all a happy Ascension Sunday. We are celebrating the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's peculiar. We're celebrating someone leaving. Those of you who have grad parties and have in-laws around, you know what that's like. Celebrating someone's departure. Why are we celebrating Jesus is leaving us? So I leave for Rome tomorrow with a group of 24 wonderful individuals, and I announced it to the staff this week, reminded them I'll be gone for 2 weeks, and one of my staff members started applauding. I get it. Father leaves, in-laws leave, celebrate. Why do we celebrate the fact that Jesus left us in the Ascension? Have you ever thought about that? So Jesus is there, all right? So the stage is set. Are you the Messiah? Yeah, I'm the one. Oh, but I'm not going to do the things the way that you thought they would be done. Okay, we can maybe get on board. And then he dies. Can't be the Messiah. And then he rises. Oh, you're the Messiah. Great. Now we just start doing some wonderful things for 40 days after the resurrection. Okay, you're the one. Okay, it's not as we had planned. Still working that out. We thought you would reestablish the kingdom of Israel here. Okay, we can do things your way. So be it. You're the one. And then he's like, all right, ciao, ragazzi, I'm gone. Really? Why are you leaving us? The Ascension is a celebration of Jesus' departure. Well, there are two very important reasons that our mother, the church, instructs us to celebrate his ascension into heaven. Jesus' departure from earth is worthy of celebration for two good reasons. The first one is this, and the church has taught this from the earliest days, to show us where we belong. He said, I have to go so that you do not think, as the early apostles and those who wanted a Messiah to reestablish a kingdom on earth, so you know that this is not your home. This is not our home. I mean, cathedral's great, and Bismarck's wonderful, and the weather's nice. This is not our home. So Jesus had to leave to reinforce the fact that I'm going somewhere, and I know it can be a little bit scary. And those who are facing death, and I get to be with them, it's scary. There's an abyss out in front of us. But this is not our home, and Jesus said, I have to go. So you know that this is not your home. So don't make more out of this than is necessary. Because we're not made for this world. You're made for the kingdom. And you don't quite understand it yet, Jesus reminded us. It's been 3 years, and now that Rufus has pups, I'm remembering those early days. We were coming out of our COVID lockdown, and I was raising him, and I think I shared this probably 3 years ago, but it's very present to me again. When I took Rufus to the river for the first time, he's a lab. Labs have webbed paws. They're supposed to swim. They should love water. And the first time I took little Rufy, 2 months old, down to the river, I thought, here we go, threw the little training dummy into the water, and he froze. Tapped the water, said, nope. Because it was dark, and it was scary, and it was cold, and it was wet, and he had never experienced it before. And now, how am I going to get this dog to swim? He's supposed to swim. He's a Labrador. That's what you do. You're a dock dog. Jump in the water. And it took a while, and then I realized there was a narrow channel, and it was deep. I didn't know how deep myself. But I said, I got to get this dog to swim. But the trainers told me, said, don't throw him in. Do not give them an experience that will scare them. Or they might fight it for the rest of their lives. Invite them in. So there I am, and there's the water, and there's little Rufus trembling because he didn't know what was going on. Threw it in, didn't go after it. I said, I think there's only one way that I'm going to get this to work. And there was a channel, I don't know, 10 feet wide. I had no idea how deep. All I could see was dark. And that's what Rufus saw. That's why I didn't go in, because it was dark. So there I went, wading into that ice-cold Missouri River water. Whew! And walked myself to the other side, ended up about up to here, and stood on the other side. And I said, Rufus, here. And he shook, and he barked, Rufus, here. And there I was on the other side, and there was in between him this dark abyss that I had just passed through, up to here. And finally, after a little bit of coaxing and him trembling, I convinced him to take the leap. And he stepped in, and he stepped in, and he shook, and then he jumped. And for the first time swam across the water over to me. I was so proud. He had overcome a tremendous fear, something that paralyzed him. The only way he could do it at that point and do it invitingly was that I had to go there first. And I didn't know how deep it was. I had to go there first so that he would be welcomed into it and trust that although there's an abyss, although it's dark and scary and we don't know, it's a good place to go. Now I walk him along the Missouri River. You know what he does? He looks for every opportunity to jump into that river. Absolutely loves it. It's his favorite place. What petrified him, terrified him as a pup is now his favorite place, the abyss. Give me water, cold, dark, doesn't matter. Currents of the Missouri River, I throw that bumper as far as I can, and he gets it. Jesus had to lead us to a place that we don't know. He had to go there first so that we would not be afraid that if you are who you say you are and you go to that place, that's got to be a good place and I am not afraid. Bring it on in due time. But I will follow where you go. So the church from the earliest days said Jesus had to ascend to remind us we are not made for this world, we do not belong here, so let it not paralyze us. And there is an abyss between here and there. But Jesus said, do not be afraid of that abyss. Actually, it's going to be the most wonderful thing in the world. And once you start entering into that abyss of faith and life in the spiritual world, you're going to love it like Rufus, and you're going to want to be there all day long. What terrifies you will become your love. The spiritual realm where Jesus dwells. He had to go there so that we would know it's where we belong. Heaven, union with him, not here, but we can taste it here. And that's what's wonderful. So the second reason that Jesus had to ascend is so that heaven, which is union with him, which is Jesus, and Pope Benedict, God rest his soul, said this magnificent thing that heaven is not a place, it's a person whose name is Jesus. So Jesus goes to heaven so that we can know we need to be with you, and then it turns out that heaven is him, and he ascended so that he could be present to us everywhere at all times. Imagine if Jesus had not ascended. As I said, I'm going to Rome, Italy tomorrow, and then Rome next week. We're going to go see the Pope a week from Wednesday. We might catch a glimpse. Not going to shake his hand, probably. That'll be nice. Get a photo. Imagine if Jesus hadn't ascended. I hope the lines would be long. I hope they would be long. They would be longer than that of the Pope, at least. And we might catch a glimpse. There he is. Look at all. But we would not feel his presence. Now, I had the privilege of working in Rome, as you all know, at the Vatican, and I got to meet Pope Francis, and I felt close to him. That was a long time ago. That was 4 or 5 years ago. I don't feel close to him anymore because I'm 5,000 miles away. I love him, but I don't feel close. If Jesus hadn't ascended, we would never know his closeness. And he says, I'm sending you a spirit who's going to convict you of all these things and is going to give you a powerful experience of my presence that you could never have known had I not left you. The ascension. Jesus ascending to show us that our home is not here. It's with him. But he ascends so that he can be present to you and to me in all places, at all times. And the Holy Spirit will convict us of that. And we are here, brothers and sisters, because we believe that. That Jesus, you are here. Look at this tabernacle. Oh, wait a minute. He is physically present. Oh, that's right. Sorry, forgot. The Most Holy Eucharist. So you can actually have physical contact with me, but I'm not limited to one place at one time. I'm actually in a gajillion churches right now, present to you, physically, in the Most Holy Eucharist. Not bad. Our home is in heaven. Heaven is a person. His name is Jesus. And he left us so that he could be more present to us now than if he was in a building in Jerusalem or Rome or wherever, here. And he says, I am your home. I am where you belong. I am with you. So this departure is the greatest thing that ever happened to us, because he shows us our home is with him. And his departure means he is more present than we could ever imagine, and we are to believe that. We are to believe that. Jesus, you are here. You are with me more powerfully than if you were sitting in this pew right here listening to this lousy homily, shaking your head. You're closer to me than if you were right here, Jesus. I'm crazy. I know. I believe that. We believe that. That's how good he is. And his ascension is an assurance that we belong with him and that he is with us in this beautiful church, in that tabernacle, soon to be in your tummies and in your homes and in your cars and in your office. If we just say, Jesus, come to me. Jesus, you're here, right? Yep. Okay, Jesus, do everything for me. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving us so we know our home. You are our home, and you are here with us. We are at home.